Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're talking about when the devil knocks, when the devil knocks. You know, the Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore. All right, and I read that to just frame, really, that's why we're in this series, is because there is a battle spiritually that's taking place in every single one of our lives and in every area where God wants to work in your life and every area where God wants to do something. The enemy is going to be there to challenge it. And so it's important for us as believers to be aware of how the enemy works. Now, we're not in this series, so we can all be like, hey, every time we get a flat tire, we're like, the devil did it, all right? It's the devil, you know? Because sometimes we can put an inordinate amount of focus on the enemy, but it's not for that. However, it is important that we understand there is an enemy and that we are not ignorant of how the enemy works, both in our life and in people's lives around us, because it's important that we understand it so we can wage the battle the way that Scripture tells us to fight. And so as believers, we will be stronger and more effective if we are aware that we have an enemy and how to fight the battle, amen? And I believe that's why God has allowed us to be in this series and maybe brought you here tonight to both encourage you and to help you fight the battle, all right? Because we do have an enemy, but we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, all right? And so we have an enemy, but we also serve a great and mighty God. Paul says this, that we are not unaware, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Speaking of the devil, of his schemes. The devil is a schemer, but we're not unaware of his schemes. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, ignorant is bliss? Ignorant is bliss. You know, I'd just rather not know because, man, if I was, just let somebody else handle those problems. You know, ignorance is bliss. There's some things that you just need to be aware of, all right? Some things that it's probably not good that you're not aware of. Today, for instance, yes, this is fresh. This is hot off the press. This is from the Lindell home, all right? Today, I was coming home late for lunch, just a quick lunch. And fortunately, we live close, which is awesome. Had no idea what I was going to be walking into. I was coming home, and Beth called me on my way home, and she said, I'm cleaning up poop right now. And I was like, oh, really? Tell me more. All right, I'm really glad I'm coming home. You know, just want to be refreshed. I'm like, actually, I'm on the other side of town. No, I was literally in the neighborhood, but I didn't say that. I said, I'm so glad to help. But I'm coming home. She goes, yeah, I'm cleaning up poop right now. I'm like, oh, what happened? Well, Edison, our three-year-old, she laid him down for a nap, which as a mom, you just hold those things loosely, all right? Those nap times, you know, because you never know what could happen. So she lays Edison down for a nap, and she, unbeknownst to her, Edison pooped his pants, and then he decided that he was going to take care of it, all right? Being a response, I know, isn't he a great guy? We call him Brown Bear, little raccoon, you know? He's the best of the best. He's just a little squishy guy. So he decides he's going to take care of it all by himself. And so what he does is he takes his undies off, he throws them in the trash can with the poop, and then he takes his pants off, puts them in the hamper, in the process gets poop in the carpet, and then comes upstairs naked with poop all over him to Beth. And Beth was like, What happened? So there was poop everywhere, and she had to clean him up, and then I cleaned the carpet. It was awesome. But I'll tell you, there's some things that it's not good to be unaware of, all right? Hey, if your three-year-old's pooping down in the basement, it's good to know that, all right? So that's the moral of that story. And it's funny, but there are some things that are more serious that if we're unaware of them, it creates problems and issues for us. It'd be better if we were aware. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a problem. And as believers, we can't afford to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. And we can't afford to ignore the enemy or to pretend like he doesn't exist or pretend like it doesn't matter or pretend like there's no spiritual battle, because we are in a battle. And if you're going to live for Christ, you're in a battle. And the Bible says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In fact, in that same passage, it says, put on the full armor of God that you can stand. So tonight, we're going to talk, as we're in this series on when the devil knocks, we're going to talk about the devil's schemes. Because it's interesting, you know, we've been in this series on Romans, and we talk about the first man, Adam, and the fall that happened. And we watched a couple weeks ago how the enemy came in and how he destroyed God's good creation through introducing sin. But in that moment, in that temptation, we find that the enemy hasn't really changed. That the way that he comes and that he tries to trip us up, you know, it's interesting, we talk about his schemes. Last week, we talked about the name, the devil, that it's mentioned that he's called the devil, I think it's 37 times in the New Testament. He's called the devil. It comes from the word diabolos, means one who slanders or one who tries to trip up. That he's a schemer, that he wants to try to trip us up from what God would have for us, try to trip us up from the purpose that God has on our lives, try to trip us up in how we view God. And interestingly enough, he hasn't changed. That the methods and the tactics he uses have stayed the same. And so we're going to look at a passage in Genesis chapter 3 and identify some of the schemes of the devil that could be at work in our life, because we're not going to be unaware of his schemes, but we're going to wrestle against flesh and not against flesh and blood, but through prayer, through the power of God, through the word of God, through worship. And we're going to win the battle in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So, scheme number one, the devil wants to cause you to doubt God's word. Cause you to doubt God's word. You know, as we talk about the devil being a schemer, in this passage that we look at, and this is Adam and Eve in the garden. This is the first temptation in the Bible. It's interesting enough that it starts out in verse 1 like this. It says, we'll go back to the beginning of verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. The serpent representing the devil, that craftiness, that scheming. And so he comes to Eve, and what's he say? He says this, he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And we all know the rest of the story, the tragedy of the fall to temptation, the fall of man, the first sin. But it's interesting enough, so we're talking about he wants to cause you to doubt God's word. I think verse 1 is very telling. It says, he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say that? You know, what the enemy likes to do in our lives is he likes to take the simple and clear command of God, the direction that God's given us, take the simple and clear command and make it complicated. You know, we talked about this on Sunday, that representing, hey, you know what? God put one tree in the garden, one tree that they couldn't eat from. And that showed, hey, Adam, you have reign. You can rule over this, but there's only one thing you can do. And that recognizes that God's an authority, that recognizes his lordship, his leadership. This is just one tree. It's a very simple command, yet he goes, did God actually say, did he actually say that you can't eat any tree of the garden? Now, if you know scripture, then you know, no, that's not actually what he said. In fact, he said it a little different than even Eve repeated it back to him. We'll put it up on the screen. It said, he said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree? But the actual command of God in chapter 2 was, the Lord God commanded the man saying, you may surely eat of every tree. You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, keep it up on the screen for 1 second. What's he say? Did God say you shouldn't eat of any tree? And God actually said you can eat of every tree except for one. Isn't that interesting that the negative is directed towards God? The negative is directed towards God, and it takes the truth. Now, God said, you can take that off the screen. God said, you can't eat of one tree. God did say that, but it highlights the negative and says, you know what, God, did God actually say you can't eat of any tree? And I think it's really telling for us that when it comes to the commands of the Lord, the commands that God, the things that God would call us to do as believers, the direction that he'd have us go, you know, when the enemy comes to you with a temptation, he's gonna take the command and he's gonna make that simple command really complicated. He's gonna try to make it complicated. Maybe it's a truth that you know you need to tell. And, that, you know, anytime you think, you know, the truth's so complicated, you know that you're not really wanting to tell the truth. That is a situation that makes you uncomfortable, or there's a situation that challenges you, and it'd be easier to go a different way. And you can sense the temptation that's like, well, it's not really not the truth, you know? When God tells us to tell the truth, does he really mean tell the truth, you know? That's so complicated. You know, no, it's really simple, but the enemy likes to take those things. And did God actually say that, or did he mean this? You know, when it comes to the word of God, that's how the enemy wants us to doubt the word of God. You know, did he really mean that that you shouldn't sleep with somebody before you're married? Did God really say that? You know, did God really mean that he only created one man and one woman? Did God really challenging that word of God? You know, did God... Is sin really, you know, that big of a deal? Did God really judge sin? Did God actually say? And it complicates it. And, you know, even that question, if you were to ask somebody about something that they were doing, you know, you would, if somebody asks you and they go, you say a statement, you know, and they're like, you know, is it actually that way? Instantly you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was, you know, maybe Google it. I'm going to Google it. You know, it instantly puts you on that, in that kind of zone. And the enemy loves to do that when it comes to the word of God in your life. He loves to make you doubt the word of God and create an instability in your life and in your walk with God, and an instability in your relationship with God through you doubting the word of God. And it's so important that we understand the word of God. You know, the enemy knows the word, and the enemy, he's using the word of God here and twisting it. He knows the word and he loves to twist it. So, you know, oftentimes when we think of the enemy in like pop culture, you know, and all of that, you know, you think of like, you know, it'll be fun, you know, do it. You know, he's got a pitchfork and a tail and you're like, you know, he's like, do the bad thing, you know? And that's not really how the enemy works, all right? At least not in scripture. It's not like, do the bad thing, it's cool, man. You know, it's not like that. Usually he takes the word of God and takes the truth and twists it a little bit so you think you're doing something good. You know, so you think, oh, well, that's kind of a good thing. Well, I know it's not 100% in line with scripture, but, you know, scripture say like, God wants us to have joy and this makes me joyful. You know, like, it's kind of like that. The enemy loves to twist scripture, and I'll prove it to you, because when the enemy tempted Christ, he used scripture and he did it in a way that felt positive. He did it in a way that felt positive. Let's look at this. When the enemy is tempting Christ, he says, if you are the Son of God, instantly a challenge, all right? It's like, well, if you're really the Son of God, you know, if you're the Son of God, why don't you prove it? Isn't that why you're here? Like, you came so people would know you're the Son of God. I mean, how will they know if you don't prove it to them? You know what? You could do this. I remember scripture says this. It says, why don't you throw yourself down from here? And they're on top of the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, really high up. For it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. Your foot won't even touch a stone. It'll be awesome. And that's what scripture, you'll be fulfilling scripture. You know, and Jesus responds with scripture. He responds with scripture. He says, you don't put the Lord your God to a test. Meaning that the enemy's doing, that's what makes temptation a challenge. And I want to challenge you in this place. If you're doing something that you know isn't in line with the word of God, but you're using scripture to defend your actions, you're in a dangerous place because you believe the lie of the enemy and you've made something that's really simple, complicated. And if you wonder why it's complicated in your soul, it's because you've allowed the enemy to deceive you and you've made the simple commands of the Lord complicated in your life and it's messing you up spiritually. And what you need to do is you need to repent and you need to say, I'm gonna align myself with the word of God and I'm not gonna allow the enemy to cause me to doubt his word. I'm gonna submit to his word and watch what God does in your life as he brings blessing to your life. But don't believe the lie of the enemy and don't allow the enemy to use God's word. Let me say one more thing on that. It's so important that as believers, we know the word of God in context. So you need to read scripture. I encourage you, it's still the beginning of the year. It's a great time to get in a Bible plan and read scripture, get the word of God into you because the enemy uses scripture out of context. And if you don't know the word of God, it gets really complicated and really hard. So you just need to know it's very simple, but know the word of God. God wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you through it. And he wants to make you a strong, stable Christian as you know his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number two, he wants to cause you, one of the schemes of the enemy is to cause you to doubt God's character. He says, does God really say, you know, you can't eat any tree of the garden? And you know, Eve's like, no, I clearly remember God said that you can eat of the trees of the garden. You just can't eat of the one tree or you will surely die. And what's the enemy say? And we'll put it on the screen. It says, you will not die. He said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's instantly a challenge to God's character. Because what he's saying is, now he didn't say God's a liar, all right? Because, that's just not how he works. He's not gonna go like full frontal assault and say, you know, God's a liar and he's lying to you. No, he's like, let me clear this up for you. You're not gonna die, all right? That's not true. God's lying to you because, and then he goes on to say, you don't surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. God's lying to you, and God's what? God's intentionally withholding something good from you. Intentionally holding something good from you. Now, that shows you the deceitfulness of how the enemy works. In your own life, there may be something that you see that you're like, that seems like a really good thing for me. There's just a few moral hurdles, a few biblical hurdles I have to get around in order to make that happen. And you can think, why would God even put that in front of me if he didn't want me to have it? God wants me to be happy, right? So he wouldn't have put that in front of me if he didn't want me to have it. But these boundaries are there and you're like, God must be intentionally withholding something from me. And what happens inevitably is, you know, you just don't believe God wants to bless you. I mean, when it comes down to it, you think God does not want to bless you. And anytime you hear anything on the blessing of God, it challenges you. And it actually, you're like, I don't know about that, you know. Oh, talking about the blessing of God, you know. Trust me, if you understand who God is and you understand it from scripture, you know God wants to bless you. You believe God has your best in mind for his glory. When you honor him, he will bless your life. But when you see something and you're not sure about that, you're not confident that, you doubt God's character. You think God is somebody that intentionally holds good things from you. that he's intentionally holding back from you, that he's lying to you about the consequences. You know, if you do that, that's sin, and there's consequences for that. But you're like, I don't know about that. Maybe not. I've seen a lot of people get away with it, and it looked like it was okay. They didn't. You know, the Bible says if that's sin, and sin destroys your life. But look at them. You know, they're doing great. You know, and you start to believe the lie. Think, well, if it worked out for them, probably it'll work out for me. You know, because, I mean, I don't know if the scripture, I don't know if scripture's right on that, worked out. And I think maybe this could work out. I mean, wouldn't God want me to have that? And I mean, people, if we're not careful, we can trick ourselves into believing that. We can say, you know, if God didn't want me to sleep with my girlfriend, then he wouldn't give me this pretty girlfriend. And I'm sure you've heard somebody say that, because I've heard somebody say that. That's a lie. That's going to destroy their life. That's a contrary to the word of God. God's not holding out on them. God wants to bless them. But that comes as they submit to the God of heaven, the Lord of the universe, who is good and does good. Who is good and does good. You will not surely die. There's no consequences for that action. In fact, God is holding out on you. For he knows intent. He knows that, and I'm going to give you a few things. When you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, and you will know. Interestingly enough, it's in positive language again, which I think is so how the enemy works, especially when it comes to temptation, the front end of temptation in our lives, and we're not unaware of his schemes. So you have to be on your guard. But that positive, once again, it's not this like, you know, once again, the devil in the pitchfork thing. It's not like that. It's like, hey, nobody wants to be thought of as not seeing, right? You know, and it's like, hey, and I'll tell you how, in the workplace, you're doing something to honor God, and it's a challenge. And people look at you, and they go, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. And that's the enemy takes it and goes, you know what? If you do it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be free. Won't it be great? Who wants to be thought of as blind, you know? You don't see. You don't see. Intellectually blind, emotionally blind, living a lie. You know, God knows that when your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. You'll be empowered. Man, won't that be great? You'll be doing what makes you happy. It'll be wonderful. You'll be empowered. And you'll know. And the truth, doesn't the truth set you free? Yeah, but that enemy can use that. Wow. Hey, you'll know. And hey, Eve, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The positive language of the enemy, but all of it designed to subvert God's character. You know, God knows all that stuff. God knows all that stuff. And he doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want you to live there. I'm telling you, if you believe that lie, you find yourself going down a path that says, you know what? I'm going to do it because I think this is the best thing for me. But it's contrary to the word of God. It will hurt you. The Bible says God is good. And he does good. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which what? You've stored up for those who fear you. When we give anything to God, he blesses it. He blesses your life. He's going to give you more back. That's the heart of God. God blessed Abraham that all the nations of the world might be blessed through him. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour his spirit out into you. God wants to fill you full of him and give you life. But you have to believe that God has your best in mind. To trust him. God is a trustworthy God. May God be true and every man a liar. You can trust God with your life. You can trust God with your decisions. You can trust God with the thing that you're worried about and you're trying to figure out, and the enemy's telling you, if God was a good God, you wouldn't be going through this. So what do you say to that? And you were like, I don't know, this is hard. You have to believe the word of God. The enemy wants you to doubt his character, doubt his word. But I promise you, those who trust in him, those who look to him, the Bible said, are never disappointed. Never disappointed. You hang on to that word of God and you watch the enemy be defeated in your life. You watch the enemy be defeated and God will prove himself true. He will prove himself true. But don't let the enemy destroy your life through a lie that God is not good or he doesn't have your best in mind, because he does. Amen? Amen. Because I want to hurry because we need to pray. Number three, he wants, the third scheme of the devil, he's caused you to doubt God's authority. So what you see that happens here is Eve, first of all, you're questioning God's word. Did God really say? Then you question God's character. So then once you get into that unstable, you know, the Bible says that he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, tossed and turned by the wind. See, double-minded man is unstable in all they do. Once you get into the doubt and once you believe the lie, the instability takes root. And then if you say, you know what, that instability is not good and this is uncomfortable and all those things and something has to change. And you know what, I think I just need to make a decision and if it's gonna happen, I'm gonna do it, all right? And God's not making it happen, so I'm gonna make it happen. And I'm gonna be in charge because I know what's best for my life. And you believe the lie and you start to subvert the authority of the word of God, you subvert the authority of the direction of God for your life, and that's the scheme of the enemy, is to make you say, you are a better master of your fate than the God of the universe. In fact, you know more of what's good for you than he does. It's a lie. You don't. That's why, you know, you give your life to Christ, and you know, if anybody gives his life to me, if he loses his life for my sake, he will find it. You give your life to Christ to say, God, I'm not in charge. You know, I'm not even the co-pilot. You know, Jesus is my co-pilot. Jesus is my pilot. I'm in the back seat, all right? I'm like, you drive, I'll sleep, all right? Sorry, guys. I got off track. But that authority that says, you know, I'm in charge. And we see this in Eve. It's in chapter 3, verse 6. It says, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, so she believes that there's something good being withheld for her. And it was a delight to the eyes. And she saw what the tree was to be desired to make one wise. I want to be in charge. And I'm going to get what I deserve. And I'm going to get, and you know what? It'll be fine. I got it. I'm telling you, if you're there, or maybe you've already gone there, I want to encourage you. That's a lie from the enemy. You're going to destroy your life. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. You're double-minded. You're unstable. There's no spiritual life there. That authority that you think you have, that empowering that you think you have, the world tells you that's where it's at. You know, be true to the voice inside. Let your light shine. Where did that come from? That's Jesus. But Jesus was not talking about your light. He was talking about him inside of you, letting him shine. That's not what the world says. You're the master of your fate. You're better at leading your own life. But that's a lie from the enemy. If you submit yourself to his authority and you know the area of your life that is not submitted to him, if there is one, and you need to submit it to him, and watch God's, it will not take long. Grace and the goodness of God, if you just say, I don't want that. I want to be with you. And I want you to drive. And I want you to do what you do. You watch what God does. But you have to submit. And you have to say, God, I want that. But we're not unaware of his schemes. So how are you going to fight that battle? Because it's hard. And it's a challenge. You're not going to fight it by getting out of here and being like, well, that's a good word and I'll give it some consideration. No. You're going to fight it through prayer and through worship and through getting in the presence of God and saying, God, I need your help, but I know you're ready to help me. And God, I give this to you, and that's how you fight the battle. And so I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Maybe you're in a spiritual battle. Maybe there's temptation that's come against you. Maybe the enemy's just caused you to doubt. I want to encourage you, take some time, get in the presence of God, and watch what he will do and just being in his presence and fight that battle in prayer. That's why the prayer meeting's so important. That's why personal time in prayer is so important. But as we fight the battle, as you fight the battle in prayer, you'll watch the grace and the presence of God enter into that situation and give you strength that you didn't have and help you defeat the schemes of the enemy. Amen.